Blog Talk Radio.
form of oppression. We are no God. We are only men, mortals from the mortals. He, God, created. Listen to the message of concern.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Arrahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladhina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim. Wale Dolin, I mean. The Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise due to Allah, the Lord, the cherisher of all the world. Merciful, the most redeemer, master of the day of judgment in which we now live. Thee alone do we worship, and thine aid we seek. O Allah, please show us a straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace upon, those whose wrath is not go astray. I mean, assalamu alaikum. Sister Daya, bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the prophets, where the teaching of blessings be upon him. I bear witness that there is only one Allah, only one creator of the heavens and earth and all in between, the creator of all systems of knowledge, known and unknown, seen and unseen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the prophets, where the teaching of blessings be upon him. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the message of concern. Blog Talk Radio Show. This is Tuesday, the 28th, I think it is, of June. I'm slow about getting started today. I got to get myself back here. I was looking for something that's very useful to me. It would be very helpful to me. I could find it right away. But I have missed everyone. I have been away in Florida on a trip that my grandchildren and nephew chose to invite us on, my husband and myself. And we didn't have to pay a thing, didn't have to do anything. They volunteered to do for us and bear our expenses. In an Airbnb, they call it, 5-bedroom apartment, a house. I mean, it was beautiful, too, really laid out. With the other little great nieces, great nephews, and great grands running around. We went to theme parks, went shopping, went to movies, went out to eat, and a lot of things. And I'm grateful. First time we've ever been out together. I enjoyed myself to the extent that I could. I'm busy trying to get myself back together again here. I didn't rest good at all down there. I thought I would. And when I lay down, I thought that I would rest when I went to sleep. But my goodness, I don't think I could ever live in Florida. Florida could never be a part of my wishes or dreams, wildest dreams to live in. Okay. We want to start off like I usually do. From Brother Henry's book, titled What Every Parent Should Know About the Worship of Human Imagery in Religion and Their Child's Mental Health, by Brother Henry Muhammad. I want to go in the back of the book. I've told you many times when I start off with this, I've told you how many chapters it has in it. I've told you how many pages it has in it. I've told you where, explained to you where the pictures came from. And the ones who are on now that I see are already aware of those things that I pointed out. Oh, here they are, right here. I was looking for. So, there's 126 pages in this book, 26 chapters, and with the pictures, is a courtesy from Congress. And it speaks on the children. It speaks on, as well as adults, and that racial image. It also speaks on the truth, telling the children the truth and giving them knowledge of the reason for their complexion and others than the complexion of others. So we're telling them that it's not true that they're darker skin, have darker skin because of their parents drink coffee while they carry them. You know, waiting for them to be born and carrying them in the in their womb, you know, and let them know that it's not a curse on them either. It's the pigmentation of the skin. Pigmentation of the skin. Deemed to us and given to us by Allah, by the creator of the heavens and the earth and all in between. So I emphasize most of the time two specific chapters and verses from the Quran, from the Bible and from the Quran, but mainly from the Bible right here, but I spoke of the two chapters and the verses because they do have two chapters and two verses that have different verses, though. But the wording is the same. And you would not believe it because this just shows and emphasizes that graven image and how it is important. Even the Bible tries to express it and tries to explain it to the ones who read it. And it's up to the ones who read it to be able to get an understanding from it to see what it means. It means that if you're going to put something in a book or keep repeating it over and over, then there must be some truth in it. So why not take heed? You know what I'm saying? Why not pay attention? Why not pay attention and why not take heed? There's got to be some truth in it. So that way you could even, those who study the Bible, they can refer these verses to their children. You know, they can point it out to their children. And they can read it to them. You know, and the children will know and be up on things the way they should be. And I wonder if what I'm saying now is the Holy Bible, coming from King James Version of the Holy Bible, and it's two chapters. One is Deuteronomy, and the other is Exodus. I do the Exodus first. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. That's Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Now back in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8, thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Now, have you heard what I heard? If you heard what I have just read you from what I see and quoting it word for word, then you'll see that those are the same words in both of those chapters. You know, the same words. So there must be some validity in it. You know, it must carry some weight. So we need to take heed to those verses. There are other chapters too that they have Isaiah and Jeremiah and Micah and Habakkuk and others. I just wanted to just point those two out because the words are verbatim, the same. Okay, the words are the same. Talking about that graven image. Okay, in the Holy Quran, I want to read you just the shortest chapter here, the shortest surah that we have for it. And it's very understandable and broke down. I don't know how further you can break it down because this is only four ayats. I mean, one ayat. Ayat El-Ikhlas, Surah El-Ikhlas, the purity of worship. And it's got four ayats in it. Okay? And it reads, with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, say, he is Allah, the one and only. Allah, the eternal absolute. He begets not, nor is he begotten, and there is none like unto him. Okay? None like unto him. So there's no two or three, no trinity, all that, you know. Only one God, by himself, who is the resolve of all of our affairs in the right way. You know, and who is in charge and in complete control at all times. Okay. And I'll say welcome again to the message of concern. The message of concern, which is the removal of all images that portray divine from worship. To remove from worship all images that portray divine, whether it be a statue made of white clay, whether it be a cross, whether it be any kind of bangles that's indicating that, that there's more than one God, okay? And that has a statue that that's being worshipped to try and defend that is more, that there's more than one God. There are three, you know. Even though they say that three is in one, then make why the three parts have to make up one God, you know, as if they're saying God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Those are three, okay. But no, we only have one. And we have to explain it to our children so that they'll know the truth. So, how is everyone? And I was so busy myself trying to enjoy the family or observe the children until I really didn't participate like I usually do on the Blog Talk Radio show when Abba and the rest of the brothers are on. But that's what I was doing, occupying. Okay. That's what was keeping me occupied. The family members. Like I said, it's the very first time I've gone on a trip with them. Okay. Now, there was another part to this. Okay, that's the image. Then the second focus in our in our program, the message of concern is that the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children. The psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children. I'm a little bit hoarse now. This just happened. I got a little cough. Just happened the last 2 days I was there. And it's, I'll have to get that checked out. Because we were down there like 5 days. And I didn't get out. that much so as to be in anybody's face or anything. Well, I went to the beach. Yeah, I took a chance going to the beach. Say it had my feet, not steady or unsteady because of me having to try to handle it with this knee, this bad knee, and trying to balance myself. And we had to walk quite a bit too. And that's one of the reasons why I know that I wouldn't be. I can say for myself, I would not be able to live in Florida. It's too much of everything is. You can't say it's in a walking distance. That's for sure. Everything is scattered out to me. To me, it is. I guess once you're there, if you live there, you'll learn how to adapt. But doesn't excite me. It does not excite me. But the sand was nice. It was the water so dirty though. It just looked like to me it's not blue or anything. It's just dirty when you go farther out. You know, I saw people going the waves taking them out there and everything. But then the water was bluer as you go out. But right there by the shore, or right there at the beginning of the beach, the water is dark, dark. That's almost like black water to me, you know. So and I hear that there's a what they call it, not a halo, but a dome. She mentioned it over Florida. It's a heat dome. That's why it's so hot down there. Oh, man, was it hot. We even had the pool on the premises. Go out the slide door and just step out, walk out on the pool. And children stayed in the pool all the time while they were there, but it didn't make it in the cooler. You know, they make it in the cooler. So it was hot there. It was very hot. Okay. Does anyone want to, if anyone wants to say anything or present anything, please push 1 on your phone receiver and we open your mic and you'll be brought into the queue and you can speak. As you know, we do appreciate participation and we feed on each other's contributions and sharing of knowledge. So if you want to say anything, please just push 1 on your receiver and you'll be brought into the queue. Okay, if not, maybe I would like to ask someone to fill me in on what, this is not many people on now. It look like the couple of the regulars, you know, and myself. But if you would like to fill me in on some things that you talked about when I was away that interest you or you like my input in it, please push 1 on your phone receiver. And we can have that discussion. We can have that discussion. Hold on 1 second. I'm trying to get my husband to assist me 1 second while I take care of this. My husband's going to stand in for me for a minute. Please, he'll be here. I'll be right back. Got an emergency call here.
Malaysia, John Biden. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashadu ilaha ilaha illallah. Ashadu ilaha inna Muhammad al-Rasulullah. I am a bad one. There is no God but Allah. Allah is the creator of this creation. He lives and he never died. He have created us, planted us here to test us and see which one is worthy of the great reward that he have kept hidden from us. That's what makes us human beings. We're going to be rewarded for what good we do in this world. Like everything we do is being recorded by the Creator himself. So we're here tonight on this Message of Concern show, trying to keep hope, keep the truth out front. And never will we be here trying to make all people Muslims. Allah said be one of all people to be one. He could have done that. He said he made a difference so we could test us and see which one worthy of the reward that he have kept hidden from us. I'm looking at the news, and I see that the Jews have found another God who was at the Holocaust. And they have given this God, who is 101 years old, have got him 5 years in prison. You know, we are people who are told to forget and forgive, that God is forgiving. Oh, God. The Jews gave us all of this misinformation that they don't follow themselves. They have forgot. They ain't forgot. This man's 101 years old. Why don't they exercise, forget, and forgive? No, they want to put this man to death. We are people, we have forgot, and we have forgave, and we have moved on. So much it make us look bad. We the most forgiving people with other people, but when it comes to us, we put a limit on what we gonna forgive for. So, other words, we've been taught one thing and doing that. So we openly bear witness that Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah is the seal of the prophet, meaning there's no more prophet to come. He prophesied everything that we see going on in the world today. So God bless him with a book called Al-Quran to deal with every problem that we can see, that we know about, we hear about. And those problems are no thing that the Quran points out to. They either go one way or the other. And the Quran points out which way it's going to go and what's going to happen if it go this way, if it go that way. What's going to happen? So, there's some Jews, people of the book, didn't want to give this old man for 3,900 people that he thought that he was there to be killed. Boy, I'm telling you, Jews don't forget nothing. They write down everything. We are forgiving and forgiving people. I'm on the lifeline. I'm on the focus. So, I'll call you back. So, we are forgive anybody. Huh? But these people, they say one thing and they mean another. We done forgot about slavery, but they keep want to punish us for something they did. And they punish us by lying about what have happened. Or lying on the people that it did happen to. Huh? Here's a terrorist calling people terrorists. They will either get their message out through the news and to the people quicker than anybody else. They are terrorists. This is what they did to Muslims. They don't come out and tell you. They know 90% of us was Muslim. They know that they discovered America. But they ain't going to tell the world that or tell nobody else that. Why? Because they control everything. They got everything in making a living off those things. And they own most of the real estate. So these people are not going to give that up. And they are holding on with a lie that God came in their image. They not going to stop lying. They don't care about the hellfire. Some of them getting their heaven right here. They ain't concerned about getting no heaven on the other side until they see that fire. And when they see that fire, then they going to wish they had. Because that fire brewing or burning, that's an everlasting fire. This heaven here that they might have temporarily, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, it's a temporary heaven. And so they lie, keep scheming, and that's all they do. When you see them on TV, when you see them in the movies, in the magazine, on the billboards, funny the music that we listen to, they scheming on the world. If they know, Peter, somebody said that they on the lifeline. We don't need no reparation. And the sister had to come out and speak up, and said, for what they did to us. Why don't we need it? Welfare is when you get money that you don't earn, and they just give it to you, and you keep dodging work. That's welfare. But ain't the farmers getting welfare? What they getting reparations? Jews still getting money, getting paid for the Holocaust right now. Billions of dollars every year goes to the Jews, the Jacobites, the Zionists. Money that we should be getting is going to them because they have punished the world with the greatest lie they ever been told, that God got a son. As long as we have the knowledge and don't and are afraid to share that knowledge with the world, that's as long as that is in progress, that's how much longer we're going to stay in bondage. Our people look like us in bondage. And as long as the majority of people are in bondage, then that means you're going to stay in bondage too. I can see it in our family members. They want to pray all the food, and they say, thank you, Jesus. And I want to say, thank Jesus for what? He didn't put the sun in the sky to make the food grow we eating. He made the first corn or cabbage or chicken or a lamb. He didn't do that. The one who made him made that. Created him did that. Huh? And the story they give you of Jesus, if he was God and he knows everything, why didn't he know they were going to nail him to the cross? Why did he say he didn't want to drink from that bitter cup? And why did he announce somebody that was coming after him? Why do he have an uncle and an auntie? Why was he born in Africa and they keep making you look like he was born in America? Why did he do that? they got to keep the veil over the eye of the masses people because they can keep riding the donkeys. Keep riding the donkey. You got to put blinders on the donkey to make that donkey go as straight as where you want it to go. And that's what they're doing with this music, clothes, with the appearance, with the idea of homo. All this is put the blinders on the people because they know if you build the pyramid and you got reparations for what done to you, you might just vibe this country. You'll start building more pyramids, more things like the pyramids that last forever, like they last forever. They don't want that. They won't sell you a car to last 5 years, 10 years, or 15 years, because they're afraid you'll make one that's going to run forever, that never breaks down, that the tires hardly wear out, or the transmission don't go bad. They don't want that. So we come with the message of concern and show where it's coming from. All this coming from racism, manipulation. How this comes from weak ideas and wrong thinking and lies that all are employers of Satan itself. And they got our people hating themselves. I see how people get angry as hell when the truth comes. And they know Jesus said know the truth. They'll quote that Jesus said know the truth and you just tell the truth. And they can't argue with the facts. But they argue because they hate you. And that's what the Christian religion have done, made them hate people of color and justify every lowdown and ungodly thing they do. Dress like a prostitute after God told Adam and Eve to put some clothes on. They justify that, walk around naked, talking about this is freedom. Now, freedom is what the problem. Freedom is mean responsibility. You're responsible for your freedom, and you are judged by how you use that freedom. If you don't use that freedom correctly, that freedom going to leave you in the dark, the lurk. That freedom going to cause you a whole lot of problems that God has been trying to get you and separate you from when he gave you scripture. He gave you scripture so you don't have to fall down. And you, when you do fall down, get back up and stand up and don't fall down again doing the same thing. But this world make you feel at ease. Making the same mistake, getting married, cheating on the wife. She get married to you, and she cheat on you with her ex-boyfriend. This world make that seem all right. Make you think that little drama ain't gonna cause much problem. But they show our young people at these gas stations shooting each other up. With the rifle, they allowed them to have them M16s and the automatic rifles. So brothers and sisters, God didn't bring us all this good information for us to set at home. He said, those who set at home and see no harm is not equal with one who goes out and tries to change. This show here is to change that perception of the world. By bringing the people the truth through the message of concern. And no Caucasian going to argue with us that their image up in the world is God. And how can they be happy? How can they be secured with their image up in the world as God? And when you check the Caucasian record, they got the worst record of all the people of the earth. Staring them in the face. But yet they accept the idea that God came in their image. They are relatives to God. This is what they're saying. So how do you feed such thing? Truth. And more truth. Nothing but the truth. That's how we defeat that. So we here tonight with the Brought Talk radio station. I guess my wife coming back. She asked me to relieve her. And I think I relieved her. She's on the way back. This is the sister night. Well, I mean sister night. Sisters are sharing it and killing this image too. They the one raised the boys and girls that to men and women that this image is affect. They the one bringing the children in the world to go off in the army, go off and join the army, go off overseas and get killed. Talking about their fight for this country. What a trick, huh? What a trick. If they were fighting with this country, we wouldn't have these low-down police on the police force. So they can say they fight for the country, then that's a lie. As long as we got these low-down police that's killing us, throwing us on the ground, something they won't do to a dog, then we are in bad shape. Then the army is deceitful and lies to the masses of people. They fight for our freedom. Huh? We are glad that we're glad they overturned. It's wrong to kill a baby. But it's more wrong to let a 15-year-old, 16-year-old get shot down in Walmart by a police because he holding a BB gun. That's abortion, too. That's murder, too. Hmm? Old man in a wheelchair, and they just load up on him. Kill an old man. How you kill an old man in a wheelchair? Shoot him down like he's a dog. And all we said was they shouldn't have did it. No, we have been like them Jews. We'll be hunting them guys down and taking them to court, giving them a court date, and then lynching them or shooting them. That's what the Jews do. 101-year-old, this man, they give 5 years for being a guard at the concentration camp that they said was supposed to annihilate these Jews, 6 million. Somebody said, well, less than 4 million. I don't care how many were wrong, and I don't care how many of us they killed who were wrong, too. But we ain't making no fuss. When you don't see us out there ambushing one of them, trying to kill them for what they did to us, you know why? Because we know that Allah is the revenger. And Allah going to deal with them. They can't escape and go past Allah. Whatever they do in this world, determine where Allah going to put them in the next world. And Allah said he record everything all of us do from the day we born until the day we die. Nothing escapes Allah's vision. Nothing escapes his remembrance. Nothing. So nobody leave this world without getting God's judgment. That's why we ain't out lying in no bushes, kill the people, because their color didn't do it. If they low down mind, and their mind is just like some of our mind, messed up by Satan himself. They want, I'm a white man. Well, go get me 2 of them. You got some other thing, we got some in our family. Go bring them here. Let's go to the paint department at Home Depot, and let's see how white they are. God didn't make no white people. And I've seen some real dark African Americans. But they have a still darker than their skin were. So their hair was black, and they were close to the real dark, real dark. So, but Allah did that. And there probably been some white people that were truly pure or white, but they had a disease. So you know, so what benefit they had from that? Huh? So they used the color scheme to divide and keep us separated. You know, we got some light-skinned people lighter than some of them. Especially lighter than some of them once they leave the beach. They go to the beach and that sun hit their behind, they get that suntan. Some of them be darker than you when they leave the beach. So we got the science on our side, we got the truth on our side, and we got some history that they didn't erase all of it, but most of it they messed up, and they keep it messed up talking about a black history. All of American history happened on the shores of America. It happened in America. It's American history what they did. But they want to tell me they want to label it black history. Yeah, it was black, the black-hearted people that did this to us, they sure was black. So my wife is coming. I know, hold this down for her till she get herself back together. We had a long journey getting back to Atlanta. We had a nice paid-for trip or vacation from her children to pay for the vacation. And we enjoyed ourselves, and so I'm finna bring her back to say what she got to say, and continue running, being the co-worker, one of the co-workers here on this Vault Talk radio station. I am one, Abdul Akbar, Daya Akbar, and Sujah Muhammad, and his wife, Quran, and we have Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia, and we have those who are steady on this show bringing the message of concern. So here's my wife. Yes, sir. Okay, I see you got somebody. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I just want to add on something that you had said, that we have to remember that Allah says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, is in the Bible and also is in the Holy Quran. But we don't turn the other cheek. That is something that I want, and we need to teach our children that. That's the problem. That's one of our problems. We keep turning the other cheek all the time. We don't supposed to turn the other cheek. A life for a life. Alhamdulillah. I didn't make up that law. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Hey, Shuja, I want to say something.
Okay, alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. How's y'all trip?
They're doing great. Everybody doing great. They had a great time. First time I've been that far in that drive, I'll pay a penny out of my pocket. I really enjoyed it.
Well, that's a blessing. That's a beautiful. Be with your grandchildren. That's be with the family.
That's right.
Family life. That's it. You know, you can't beat it. I'm going to start off with Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful. I also testify and bear witness that there is only one God, one creator. And I bear witness and testify that Prophet Muhammad, Christ Jesus, Abraham, Moses, all those great men was God's servant. They wasn't Superman, you know. You can't follow Superman. You have a charge against God. You said, God, you send those Supermen down here on earth, you know, but I couldn't follow him. He was doing some things that I couldn't do, you know. So he said that the earth is populated with human beings, so he sent you a human message. So that's what we as Muslims believe, you know. We believe that God sent us a human being just like us, one that had to pray to God, one that had to depend on food, water, and air, you know. One had to work, had to take care of his wives and take care of his children, just like us. You know, we had to pray. Ask Allah for forgiveness. You know, and thank Allah for everything. You know. So that's the one that God sent us to follow. You know, and we study those great men. You know. And we don't see nothing that is like God. We don't see nothing in this creation. Now they have the television. They can put an image up there that is not real. And if you don't monitor, you know, with your children, some of the things they can believe that is real, coming off of television. You know, you had to come behind them, you know, on the television and let them know what's true and what's not true, you know. So we as human beings have to be brought into a reality, brought into the truth, you know. We had to pass it on to each other. We had to learn. I can imagine people that was here in the beginning. You get all this vegetables and fruits and some of this stuff is poison. You know, I can imagine all of them, the first one, what they had to go through, eating things that's not good for them. You know, eating things that can kill them. You know, the people's coming after them benefit from that. They benefit from that. So, no, you can't eat that because so-and-so, so-and-so died from eating that. You know. So, you know, we pass on knowledge that is good and healthy, you know, for our children. We pass that knowledge on. We tell them what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's bad. What's going to work for you, what's going to work against you. You know, we let them know that. And dealing with children, children is amazed by how you can develop an idea or paint a picture. They're amazed with that. So we have to be prepared, you know. And one of the ways that we can paint the picture to our child is from the principle that called Dina Petra, the natural order. If you paint that picture and show them the beginning and develop it right in front of them, they never will forget that. And that's important because God say that order, that natural order, that Petra, that Petra, he said it don't change. It don't change. So if we're able to paint that picture, and I think one of the words for painting pictures like that in the language is epistemology. I think that's the name. I might be using my words incorrect, but I think it's epistemology, and that's the science and study of words, you know. So words develop. Everything develops, and when the child catch on to that and learn that, oh, he ready then. She's ready then. You know, so we just want to let the children know that truth can be proven. Falsehood can be proven. You know, if somebody teach you that the Creator is unseen, you know, no vision have ever grasped God, have never seen God, you know, and then they turn around and teach you in a religious house that creator had a son. You know, the child going to put that together. You know, they going to put it together, you know, you all you had to do is teach them a little bit about what's the son? What is the son? What is the daddy? What is the mother? What is the father? You know, do you know your friend's father? You know, and just many little things that you can say that will spark something in their mind. Where they'll say, well, how could God have a son? And he's unseen. And you can't see God. How does God have a son? And they say his son is a Caucasian. And you can see that Caucasian. They have pictures of him in the church. Picture of him on the cross. Images of him all around. Portrayed on the television. And in the books and things. Images of God's son. How could that be God? You know? And so, you know, we had to teach our children that you had to question things. Because they do have a lie. There is a Shaitan, and Shaitan, Satan, is one that don't like us. Satan don't like the human being. He don't like children. He don't like God creation. And his whole job is to mislead you. So if a child know that this is his enemy, and he taught things that don't add up, that's where the picture come in, the Dina picture. You know, he taught things that don't make sense, and they don't add up. He can't put it together. So what are you gonna do? He going to start questioning those things. He going to question his mother. He going to question his father. He going to question his school teacher. You see? And that's what you want them to do. You want your children to ask questions for things that is not clear. You know? And one of the ways that your child will be full of questions if you teach them the principle of Dina Vitra. Wow. You teach your child that principle, and your child accepts it, and then you turn around and tell him that a rabbit leg. He gonna question that. You know, you teach him that God had a son. He gonna question that. He gonna question that because it don't add up. It don't add up. You know, so we got the Quran. We got the right teaching. And it's just a matter of applying that teaching, and know how to use that teaching. Don't be trying to get so heavy and so deep dealing with our children, you know. Just lay it out. Just lay it out for them, and don't answer all the questions. You know, that's one thing I remember. Imam Wabi Muhammad, Allah forgive him for his sins, reward him in paradise. He was telling us, don't teach a person everything. Don't teach a person everything where they don't have, you don't give them no kind of room to figure out nothing. You see, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. You want your children to think. You got to give them room. You know, and when they think, they going to add things up. You know, they know one and one is two, you know. And they know that one and two is not one. They know better than that, you know. So that's what we, you know, we want them to think logical. We want them to use common sense, you know. And we want them to know the principle of reality. You know, yes. So we thank Allah for this opportunity, you know, and we pray that we was able to add something on to the program. It's it's basically just to make our children think. That's the whole idea. Make them think and make them ask me questions, you know. So we came to you in peace. We're going to leave you in peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Rahmatullahi barakatuh. Thank you, Brother Suja. Well taken and well said. You are absolutely right. I remember an incident with Imam Qasim Ahmed as well, with the Imam W.D. Muhammad. And he had been sent to represent Imam W.D. Muhammad for some type of a forum, you know, something they had.
Yeah.
And he came back and told Imam W.D. Muhammad, you know, I told him as much as I could, explained to him as much as I could, and they were asking questions, but some of my guys hung up on. He said, well, you can't tell them everything. He said, you can't answer all the questions. You got to leave some room for them to think, too, and to go and research, do their research. You tell them everything. We'll be able to them to go and do no research.
Sister Daya, Allah is my witness. Excuse me.
Uh-huh.
Allah is my witness. That is exactly what I was talking about.
Uh-huh.
The situation that you just explained is what I was talking about. Because the Imam, that's who he told that, was Qasim Ahmed.
Alhamdulillah.
So you hit it, you hit it right on the head. That's who he told it. Alhamdulillah.
I remember.
Yes, ma'am. That's
what it was. Well, all right. Anybody else have anything else to say in addition to what Brother Suja has said, and it is pertaining to the children, psychologically, you know, giving them a chance to think and use the mind that Allah blessed them with to think and search further. And that way they'll really never forget. You can be repetitious and tell a child something over and over and over and over. And they, they somewhat sometimes look out for that. You know, they just say, well, they don't need me going taking this no further because they're going to tell me anyway. They're going to correct me anyway. They're going to repeat what they said to me. But if you just stop repeating it to them and then let them know, okay, I've told you all I'm going to tell you, that's what I want you to know about that, and you go and search for yourself the rest of it so that you can get a better understanding and it'll be easier for you to remember, you know, what you're talking about. So thank you very much. Very well taken, Brother Suja. Does anybody else have anything else to contribute to that or another subject? We do want you to know that this program is sponsored by Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School and Claire Muhammad.
My daughter, Tennessee, Alisa El-Shabazz Shekel, or two others.
Excuse me. That's my phone. Huh?
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Rahmatullahi barakatuh. Sister Quran.
Alhamdulillah. I do want to say something that I was reading. I was reading about, I forgot this doctor's name, but he was talking about the mass shooting that the youth is doing, the young people are doing, and he found out that, and they did a study, and the majority of them have mental illness. And that mental illness is caused by the drugs that they are giving them, the medication.
Mm-hmm.
But they start giving our children medication when they're in sixth grade and all that. He said that have a lot to do with them doing that mass shooting. It is affecting their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. That's what I wanted to say. So a lot of it is dealing with the drugs. And for us to help our children, the first thing we have to do is get the drugs out of the community. They got the drug, they got it mixed up with that opium and the heroin and that synthetic stuff that starts with an F, and all they're going to want them to do is nothing. You know when you have on heroin, what that heroin do, all they want to do is just sit in the corner and just rock. That's the majority of what heroin addict does. And that's what they're putting up inside the drugs that's out there for the children now.
Alhamdulillah. And you know what, too, Sister Quran, that medication that you're talking about for the school children 6 years of age, most likely, is called Ritalin. That Ritalin
right.
is a psychotropic drug for the children, and it makes them, when they say the children are out of order and they're not staying in their seats and they're distracting other students, you know, and their attention span is very short. Well, it's a bad thing to do to put them on the Ritalin when all you have to do is give them some attention or put them with another child that's not so hyper, you know, and let them study by them and work with them together. That's what we had started calling pairing the children. You know, you wouldn't put all of the hyperactive children together and all of the slow learners together and all of the fast learners together. You know, you would mix them up and let a fast learner be with a slow learner, you know, and a hyperactive child be with a non-hyperactive child. And that way they learn from each other and they'll catch on, you know, and it'll help them. There's therapy for them, you know, instead of grouping all of them the same, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
Alhamdulillah. Well, what I want to say is that I don't know how they do it in other states, but down here in the South, what they did is that when they start integrating,
mm-hmm.
what they did is they took all our smart teachers and they put them into the Caucasian school. And all their teachers that was like C students, you know, like, you know, they have some teachers that go to school because they want a job, but they really don't want to teach. They just want that job. You know, they're smart enough to do that. And those are the ones they put up into for our children. They're dumb teachers. That's what we call them, the dumb teachers. And what it is that so when our children, see, we knew how to deal with our children. So when our children they call that hyper. When they know all the answers and you know, and they get bored, if you tell them, keep telling them what 2 + 2 is, they already know what 2 + 2 is. Give them something else, challenging their mind. So we know what to do, but they don't. So what they do, the majority of our children got on, they put them on all those drugs when they're that age. There was those Caucasian teachers because they didn't know how to deal with the children, our children.
I know.
It's about they was too hyper.
Mm-hmm.
They try to do that to my son. I told him, I said, no, you ain't put my son on no medication. That's what the first thing they want to do is put him on medication. And when they put him on medication, that's what they did to my brother, his son. And I said, Jerome, I said, what's going to happen when he get out of high school? What he going to do?
Mm-hmm.
He ain't going to be able to get that medication. And as soon as he got out of high school, exactly what he did, he ended up in jail.
Why he couldn't get the medication when he got out of high school?
Because they only give them medication when they're in high school. If you go through school, then you know you got to take them through when you take them to the doctor's going to find ain't nothing wrong with that child. I don't know why, but they just don't. But when they get out of high school, they don't give it to them. When they get out of school, I said high school because that's the last stage. But when they get out of school, then they don't give it to them. And then what they gonna do?
Yeah, well,
and
that
body needs
written. That particular medication written is strictly for children of younger ages, like we said, 6 years old. But high school students,
high school students go through
that. They have another type of a medication or another therapy, you know, process for them.
And our children don't need that. All they need is to be. Is we need to teach them because we know how to teach our children. Be quiet. Mm-hmm. Sit down. You know. And mm-hmm. I don't know what the other teachers how they be teaching them, but anyway. They don't know. That's why I said we got to teach our own children because we know what our children need.
Exactly.
We know what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah,
yeah, absolutely right. Boy, this got the chicken out the beat is out the thing. I said, I ain't going to chase him around trying to get him.
Let him out.
Alhamdulillah. Well, alhamdulillah. So that's the main thing we have to do is basically start teaching our children and getting them off of that off their drugs. Because once they have control of the mind, they ain't worrying about the body. They can do anything, and they're gonna make them don't want to do nothing, and then let them do all, and they're gonna let them do all the work. You know, let them have all the business. All they have to do is buy. And let the welfare, that's easy, and let the welfare take care of them, you know, give them that money and go take care of. Because remember at one time they wouldn't give the money to the brothers, but now they're giving the money to the men's now. They give it to them now.
Oh, yeah, they call them crazy check.
The crazy check and also the welfare check, too, if they're unable, and food stamps, they give that to them now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. You're right about that because I know when I had the re-entry program, those guys with the when they came out, released from prison and to the program, they could go over to the mayor's house that's right across the ravine, we call it, right across the yard from where I had the house, and they could get those people to work with them for me, you know, let them make calls to the food stamp office and just put their application in for food stamps over the phone. They would get their state ID that they needed to go and get their driver's license replaced to them or whatever license they needed or credentials they needed instead of that released prison ID, you know, needed something to replace that. So those people helped them. And I noticed that they would get food stamps and all that stuff. That's a shame. And they lived much better. And then we were giving them $50 a week. And the state was paying me. I had to give them $50, each one of them $50 a week out of what the state was paying me. You know, so for them. So, they lived well. You know, getting these girlfriends, going to their houses, and getting the food stamps and buying them up groceries and letting them cook for them there. And sometimes they would get together. We'd walk up on them and they wouldn't even know we were coming. Boy, they'd be in there fixing shrimp, lobsters, all kind of high expensive food. But I wanted to cook for them. We could give them $50 a week or either we could cook meals for them. Make menus for them, especially for 4 days a week, for breakfast and for dinner, and then the last meal of the night, and then give them a lunch bag on the weekend, you know, and then on Sunday maybe fix a good meal. That's the way I had said I would do. No, they didn't want that, but I could have demanded that I do it like that, and then they wouldn't get the $50, or I could pay somebody to fix it. Yeah, and give them
and I think another thing that we need to teach our children because back in the days, the Caucasians they found out they were making a lot of mistakes because they wanted to keep us under control, you know, have control of us, but they kept making these mistakes. They forgot that See, when they, that's why they took the driving ed out of school and you know, all the trades, teaching the brothers how to build. They had, they would teach them how to build and make tables and chairs like that, and teach us how to, and we had economics where we could, not economics, I mean, we did
home
have economic classes too.
Home,
yeah, home
economics.
Yeah, we teach them how to cook and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then they found out they was making a mistake, because that was only making us, that was making us stronger.
Mm-hmm.
That was making us stronger, and so and now they want to take all that and make us weak.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
they don't
want to
give you anything. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, hold on, Sister Ron.
I'm finished.
Stay there. Okay, we got someone else who would like to speak.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Yours well taken. Just hold on for me. Okay, this is Brother. Okay, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad. Brother Muhammad, Sharif.
Yeah, well, alaikum assalam.
How you doing, brother? We finally got you connected, huh?
Yeah, finally. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. How's Sister Sharifa?
She's there.
Go ahead, brother. Whoever wanted to speak between you and your wife, go right ahead.
Yeah, this I'm saying, go back to Sister Claire Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
To know how they, I know y'all were speaking about how they are treating our children. So why don't you just, well, I know our children are grown, right? You speak about your children or your grandchildren that's in the public
mm-hmm.
school now.
Mm-hmm.
Your grandchildren, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Grandchildren and great-grand, right. Uh-huh.
Well, tell me, have y'all considered taking a stand? This is Claire Muhammad. And don't take your children out of public school. Take your grandchildren and great grandchildren out of school and homeschool them.
Yes,
I think you sister, y'all know enough that you can homeschool them yourself.
Mhm. Yeah. And we, you know, the only situation, only problem I see with that is not really a problem, but it's our locale. You know, like if I got 15 great grands. And
right.
I got 5 grands now, but I got great nieces and great nephews, you know, stuff like that for my brothers, you know, and sisters. And they're in New Jersey, you see, and it's the locations that we're in. And I would love to do that. I've mentioned that 2 or 3 times, and my older children have too, you know. But then we don't all live in the same area or same state. You know, we do it for other children. As yes, we can do that for other children, but the children that we want to try and catch, they cannot afford to go to Sister Claire Muhammad School. We have a Claire Muhammad School in Nashville. Well, you know that, and they're doing very well. You know, but then they say
mm-hmm.
a lot of children can't afford to pay to go to that Claire Muhammad School. And when I was there, I would sponsor a couple of them. You know, but a lot of people can't really afford to sponsor a lot of children either, that they would like to go there. So that's why it's made up mainly of the, excuse me, I got a little cold here, the believers there in the community, you know, like the imam and the treasury department, you know, they may have children, you know, they can afford to do it now. When I was teaching at Claire Muhammad in New Jersey and down in Nashville, I wouldn't accept any money. I would work and let them contribute that money toward my tuition for my grandchildren that I had going to the Sister Claire Muhammad School at the time, you see.
So have you all spoken to your children, no matter where their location is? Have you mentioned
oh, yeah,
this
well,
to them?
Every chance we, yeah, you're right, you're right. We can speak to them on the phone, regardless to the location they're in, you know, but then we have to be able to hook up and get it together to let them know when we're going to call them on the phone to do a three-way or whatever amount of way or Zoom or something like that, you know, to meet with them, you know, and to be able to do that. But I'm fortunate. My grandchildren have, some of my great-grands have been blessed because they go to these alternative schools, these special schools, like, you know, and they have A students where they can go to these schools and schools themselves give grants, you know, and stuff like that to these children that qualify, that are like A students, you know, and can go to these schools. So they are not losing out on any education, you know, and I know what you're saying. We said take about the public schools and teach them things. And on the side, they are taught. They are taught truth about their own heritage, about their own people. On the side, they are taught, yes.
So you have a choice. We're going to let our grandchildren, great-grandchildren be given dope, or we are going to find a way to take them out of those schools, even alternative schools. They're teaching what you're talking about the image. So the alternate schools are teaching about the image.
Yeah,
so
but
you're going to let them have teach them about that image that's messing them up? They're going to let them teach and give them the dope? Mess them up. So what you going to do is you're not going to make any sacrifice and talk to the principals of these schools and find a way to get your children into the Clarion Harbor schools. Talk to them and see what they let them know. I have to make a choice, brother, ma'am, or sister principal. I have to make a choice. I don't want my child being taught the have that image, and I don't want my children to be doped up.
Mm-hmm.
So can we come up with, let me get my children to the school. We'll find a way to pay them, to pay their tuition. We'll find a way, but can we make some arrangements? Because I'm not going to send my grandchildren into these other schools no longer. Can we make some type of arrangement?
It can be done. It has been done. And that's what I feel a lot of the Muslims are doing. You know, we're not just standing by and not trying to do anything to enforce exactly what you're saying. You know, and we can take part in the curriculum with the Board of Education. We can take part in the curriculum.
I'm not talking about Board of Education. I'm not talking about I'm talking about putting the Clarion Harbor school. Not the Board of Education.
No, I'm talking about we have input with the Board of Education about the curriculum that they bring about and that they come up with, and we can take part in it as far as helping to make that curriculum to include the children be taught about the image or have some type of in their social studies class. You know, or history classes, geography classes.
That's not what I'm saying.
What are you saying then?
You said you were Sister Clara Muhammad, who said I'm not going to let you put my children in those schools. I'll teach them at home. And they're not going in the schools. So that's where I got to make that stand. They're not good. That curriculum they're giving, that curriculum's not going to solve our problem. The image is still there. That curriculum is not going to solve the problem. We're going to have to come together and talk to the brothers. Brothers, we're going to have to find a way to pay the tuition for our children, grandchildren, our grandchildren to get into the Clarion Harbor School. Put the weight on us men. You're going to have to come up with some finance. You're going to have to come up with something. Because I'm not going to send my children, my grandchildren to these other schools any longer. I guess they said, what are you talking about? I said, yeah, sister, just tell them I'm not going to wake up tomorrow morning with a father's prayer and my children, grandchildren are not going to the other school no more. They're going to Cloud Mama School. Now you go and talk to the principal of the school or the resident ma'am or the principal. You talk to her and let them know we made a decision. You're going to have to take my children in. We'll find a way to pay you, but they are not going back to school anymore. And brother, you're going to have, we're going to have to come up a way to get the money.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, and you're absolutely right. I'm not speaking against what you're saying. We just have to work out a strategy of some kind to be able to do this and get the teachers or whoever to agree. Because as we know, that's one of the situations, too, right now. While a lot of the Sister Clara Muhammad schools are not opening, we're trying to get them reopened because they don't have enough qualified teachers to teach the Islamic curriculum. You know what I'm saying? And what they're supposed to know, which includes the image, you know, and which includes not being, not dealing with drugs and alcohol and homosexuality and prostitution and all these easy money-making things that they have out there for our children. Oh, yeah, we see. We see, you know. But even though, although we see, like you said, we have to come up with a way to pay, because this is one of the reasons why all this, a lot of Sister Clara Muhammad schools are closed, because they didn't have money, you know, to keep the schools open, to get the qualified teachers and to pay them. And even a lot of the qualified teachers that they supposedly had were non-Muslim. That's another thing I don't agree with, you know, but it's okay as long as they qualify or whatever, but still, I would appreciate a Muslim, another Muslim sister or brother teaching my child, my grandchild, you know, or grandchildren, instead of non-Muslim. You know, not that they don't qualify, you know, to teach them, but making sure that if they're going to teach, make sure you look at them, check their curriculum to see what they're teaching, you know, the objectives and the goals and objectives. You know, with that teaching plan, the lesson plan book that they were set for those children to be taught, you know. So all that's included. So we just, it's all about that money now that a lot of us don't seem to have. Like you said, we got to come some kind of way. And that's what's been worked on. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. I just wanted to add on to what Sister
Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute, Mrs. Quran. Brother Muhammad, are you satisfied now with your answers? Do you see how we two are thinking the same way that you are thinking? We're just trying to work with a strategy and find out how we can come up with more money. And like you said, the brothers have to get a hold. Brothers have to get off of what they're doing. And then get on what they're supposed to be on, or what they could be on, to help out with that.
Well, what does the brother say about what we're talking about?
See, we haven't.
This is the sister's night, so I mean, maybe that's why the brother's required. This is sister's night, so I'll back out.
Well, no, you don't have to back out. It's good you spoke up. Suja spoke up. It's not. Well, I don't take it as, okay, it's our night to emphasize and to focus on the children. And brothers can focus on the children, if they think just as well as the sisters can. Because the brothers are supposed to be the backbone of the children and the women. So, therefore, sure they can speak. Sure they can speak if they choose to come on and speak. Suja just spoke. Yeah, and then now you're speaking. But I mean, he comes in a lot of time. He speaks. He's not here yet.
I'm talking about the children, the grandchildren, the great grandchildren. That's what I'm speaking about.
Yeah.
Go give them.
Can I add something on there, right quick?
Go ahead.
That could help. I just want to add something on. That's okay with you, Sister Gaia?
Yes. Right.
Hello.
Here.
Alhamdulillah. What I want to add on that we are doing something, Brother Muhammad, like I get together, and I was talking to Sister Daya about it, but I didn't talk to her in details. I just mentioned it to her at one time. And what we was, like right now, I even called my daughter. I was planning on getting the children online, teach them how to do business online, you know. Also, and then we have like a get together and have a marketplace too. But also we getting, here in Louisiana, we getting this established where we have a place where they can meet. And then we'll talk basically like dealing with business and get them online. And also, I even called my daughter today. I said, the first thing we got to do, we got to get everybody a savings account. So we have like 25 children, 25 people, you know, and then some of the adults too that is good, some of the parents. And,
okay,
and
now when you teach, you only teach them about business, or do you teach them also about Islamic practices? And like you said, you know, about the dope and about the other ways of life that are un-Islamic out there in the world, and the message of concern. Do you all have different times and times that you would bring that in as well?
Yes, ma'am. We don't separate that from the business. You know,
okay.
Teach them how in Islam, how we do business, you know, like that, alhamdulillah. It's because you don't sell anything in your store. You know, we let them know that just because you see people selling this and that in their store, we don't sell that. And sometimes our children don't know. They don't know. They don't know about all those things, alhamdulillah. So basically, the debt and getting online so they can make money themselves. So because right now, our children, right now, at 9 and 10 years old, they be asking for $20, $30, and they want to buy things. And so sending them out there doing things that's wrong, you know, getting into things that's wrong, then we could teach them how they can make money online, alhamdulillah. So that's where it's at right now, is online. Teach them how to make money online, and also and keep to the basics, because when Allah bring down the lightning and the rain and the flood, all that stuff is going to crash, just like those people may be driving these cars. And then, like my daughter, she got a car, but every year she had to go get the key. She got to go get the key program or something like that. I said, so, but when they have a storm or lightning, all those cars going to shut down. That's why I got my old car. I'm keeping my old car, 1997 car, and because it'll drive through the flood.
Okay.
All you do is put a block on it, they say.
Okay. Right. Yeah, we do. And I know it seems like we're not working hard enough or fast enough. Excuse me. I told you I caught a cold.
I just want to say one thing, because I just want to say one thing. You're right. You got to remember, we are in our 70s. Some of us are in our 80s. We can't do all the things we used to. We can't stay up for 3 days like we used to and go to work the next day. I used to do that. You can't do that no more.
Can't move as fast as we used to move. We can't.
That's right.
I know I would like to be able to get out and go to these different places like I did in New Jersey, go to the hospitals and talk to them about the diets, you know, that we used to have. Alhamdulillah, they changed the diets too. No pork. So that was when I was younger, and I, you know, was able to get around. And I was working on the sick committee there, part of that, and health and wellness committee. Like I've been working on one down here in Atlanta. But I'm right now, I got to just get myself back together, my health back together, where I can get around and walk, because, you know, it puts a dampens your spirit a little bit, and you're not able to talk with in between pains when you're grabbing you're grabbing your knee, how, ouch, you know, and all this kind of stuff, you know, or you get comfortable and start really talking, and then you want to cross your feet at the bottom, and when you cross your foot across the other one, you get a pain, and you'd have to get yourself situated. Yeah, so you just have to have your health in good shape, you know. Get your health right before your health failed you, yeah. I mean, before, you know, everything gets all torn apart. But that's okay. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Can't give up. Just can't give up.
Alhamdulillah. That's right. You're right about that.
We're working still. like old folks used to say, slowly but surely, and inshallah, it'll be on time. All right, Brother Sharif.
So we are doing something.
All right, Brother Muhammad.
Yeah, we'll see what Brother Neen has to say in reference to his SEM school. Maybe he has some ideas, you know.
In reference to his cell code.
Now I said in reference to Amin Muhammad concerning the STEM school. Maybe he has some ideas, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
well,
it would be.
Yeah, maybe not necessarily tonight. Maybe.
At other times, yeah.
Yeah, another time.
Because he has off and on spoken on the STEM school, how important it is for our children and all, you know. And we wanted to get a Zoom classes on online, focusing on the science, you know, and the math part of the STEM school. Mainly because children love science, you know, so that was one of the focuses that he had spoke on as far as the STEM school. This was way before we first got started, really, and started talking about what the children need. When he was out there to the, I call it the little airport out there, where they were teaching them how to get on the planes and all, and teaching them how to do something with the flying. Yeah.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. And you know what? You said something good when you said something about about the science. And when you said that, I thought about it. I said, yes. I said, what it is that the science will give you a chance to think also. Because if you don't have science, how are you going to be able to grow? And we got
Islam.
To remember, that's how they conquered this country. I was out called Bosnia. I said it's a real rich country. It was a dark African. They weren't African American, but they were dark people, and they was rich. They were so wealthy until they never worked. They had people that worked for them. But the guerrillas came in. What they did is they came in, and they didn't do no fighting either, nothing like that. So the guerrillas came in and they start intercepting. Anyway, they started conquering them, and they didn't know how to plant. They knew how to plant no corn, no nothing, or anything. So they had to submit to the Caucasians, to the missionaries, when they came in and told them that if you take Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then they'll take care of this. And that's what they did. So I'm just saying. So that's very important that our children to know science, like you said, to give them a chance to think. And just like one of the brothers was saying, he said, you don't really need no watch. I said you could go by the moon,
that's right,
and the sun, and it could tell you the time. Did you know I think I'll listen to this story. I'm just wanted to talk after this. I just want to say one thing. I think I'll listen to this guy. And he was talking about survival. That's one thing we need to teach our children, how to survive. Because remember, they taught us how to survive, and what it is that they were saying about the guy was asking his son. He said, "Where is the East at?" And he said, over there. He said, how you know? He said, because the, he said, where's the west? And he says, over there. He said, well, because all the trees fall towards the east and the limbs are thicker. I never thought about it like that.
Mm.
No, he said the south. My apologies. He said it was the south. He said the south.
I think
I've been on long enough. I'm going to get off now.
You're going to get, okay, Brother Muhammad, thanks for your input. And, yeah, we're going to get Brother to expound as much as he can on if anything new that he has come up with as far as the STEM school and trying to get things put together, how far along he's come. Sure wish we could help that brother. Even though he's in California, that could stem on from California to Atlanta to New Jersey to Tennessee.
I'm going to have to get off now, Adaya.
Okay.
Okay,
brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Alaikum assalam.
you know what I was getting ready to say, Karan?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, man. What was I getting ready? I lost my track. Here we go. Okay.
That's okay. You ain't by yourself.
Well, anyway. Wow. I forgot.
Well, but I was just going to say just it's important that we teach our children how to survive and how to protect themselves. That's very important, how to survive and how to protect themselves. Because why have all that knowledge and here's you can't protect yourself and you don't know how to survive when the lights and all that stuff goes off. Like in the South, you might wake up one morning, the water is turned off and there's no electricity because of the storm. And a lot of times they do that because they said they don't want you to panic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what I was going to say now. I know what I was going to say. What I was going to say was the sun. We used to have sunflowers in Tennessee. You know, those big old yellow flowers grew up in your yard like that. And when it would come up in the morning in the east, and it would go down in the evening in the west. It would turn itself, the big old, you know, sunflower turn itself to the west when it was time for the sun go down, when it would go down. So that was like, that's nature right there, you know, and that's science, because that's what that big flower was mainly used for. We used to see it in the yards in the South. I know it did in Tennessee when I was growing up. So that was used like a clock anyway, you know. And then the Indians also, signs and all from nature, because, you know, when they say many moons, they mean many years, you know, like seven moons, you know, six moons, that's 6 years or 7 years, you know, the Indians, you know. So a lot of things they would use talking about, and in southern languages that people don't.
Because every month there's a new moon, you know, like, because I used to keep up with the moon, too, like I write down, you know, there's a full moon, and sometimes it'll last 3 days, and sometimes a full moon will last, during the summertime it lasts longer, it lasts like 5 days, almost close to a full moon.
A full moon or a new moon?
A full moon. A full moon is when you could see it. A new moon is when you can't see it at all, right? You can't see the
moon
at all. That's it.
Like full moon, uh-huh. The crescent is like the new moon, the crescent. You know, brothers go sight it when it's time to do Ramadan, like they sight it.
No, Daya, if you read it, and if you read, you'll see that, because I thought almost close to the same thing, too. But and I read the full moon, the new moon is when you don't see nothing at all. When you don't see the moon, that's when it's between, when that's between the planet and that's when the earth is between the planet and the sun. I mean, the earth is between the sun and the moon. It's in between the sun and the moon. That is when you don't see the moon at all, that's the new moon. When you don't see it. Then you start seeing the crescent. Okay. Yeah, then you start seeing the crescent.
Oh, and then we need to start thinking. We can use our own mind too. If you don't see a moon, how can it be a new moon? So the crescent is the beginning of the new moon. The crescent is the beginning or the start of a new moon. You got to see it.
You can say it's the beginning, the starting of the new moon, but it's not like you say that's the new moon. It's the starting, you know, you could say it's the starting of it, yeah.
I just know
that they say that. Yeah. But read about it. Say when is the new moon? And then they'll let you know that's when the earth is between the sun and the moon, and you don't see the moon because there's no reflection. The sun is not reflecting on the moon because the sun is behind the moon. That's how you give that reflection. It's behind it. And so when you don't, so that's how you can't. Anyway, that's a new moon right there, when you don't see the moon at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then the crescent comes. That's when the crescent starts coming. Alhamdulillah. I mean, when you can read it, you can read it because I said I was going to, you know, when I do the calendars, I had want to try to, you know, learn about the moon, you know, how the moon works like that. And then I was, because I thought the same thing, too, like that until I read it, and that's what they was telling me when they say new moon. And then the crescent is when you spot the moon, like when you spot that first crescent and you see it. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, a new moon when is the 28th? The 28th is today. The new moon is today. It is the moon phases. Okay, new moon, June 28th, 2022 at 10:52 p.m. Next phase. Okay, that's what this says about a new moon, and it is black. It is just like a black circle, yeah. A black moon. Like a black moon, yeah. Okay. The new moon is supposed to be tonight. I know in psychology, even when I worked on the psych unit, which I've worked most of my life, large part of my life, my nursing life in psychology, the guys from Vietnam and anybody that had those problems with drugs, boy, you could tell when it was a new moon, because they would just go berserk. They would be so different. They would be so different. Half of them want to run away, want to get out. We had them keep them on lock unit.
Now, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to understand. When the moon is full, that's when everything, I'm trying to figure out, I got to check it out again. When the moon is full, that's when everything flows. When there's a full moon. They say when the moon is full, that's when everything flows. I'm going to double check. Because I remember when this brother he had got shot, and they could not stop the bleeding, and then I said, well, let me see where the moon was at, and that was during the time the moon was either it had to be the full moon, and that's when everything was just, it might have been a new moon. I'm gonna check out too when everything flows, but it was one of the two, and that's when everything just started flowing. Because it's hard to stop. You know, it's like when they have those, but that might be full because that's when they have the waves be so high in the ocean. And it's hard to stop the flow.
Okay.
But it's good to travel when the moon is full because you can see at night. It'll brighten up just like sometimes, just like it's you know, evening time where you could be able to see.
Well, this is something else. This astrology. This astrology stuff is something. There are people who really just study this. I know a few people that study the astrology.
And that's where it says a good time to plant your seeds on a full moon because everything, but I found that if you plant like 3 days even before the moon is full, then that plant will grow, because I see it where it'll help that plant to grow. It'll draw that plant where it'll start growing on a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people plant on a full moon. Alhamdulillah.
So much stuff. I got a friend sister too, and she just takes this up. This is a lot of studies. I worked with a lady that was drug counselor when I was in my training for drug counseling at the college. And she used to, boy, she was into that astrology, too. She was really into that astrology. It's interesting. Moon is on the crust and all that kind of stuff. And it's got a symbol like five stars. The five
You can tell time. You can tell when it's 12 o'clock. You can tell when it's 12 o'clock. When it's 12 o'clock, it's straight up.
Yeah. Mhm. Yep. And they got these books here that are very expensive too. Boy, oh boy. Okay. Pentagram book. That's what it's called. The Pentagram book. Well, you know, you would have to be, what I would say now, I said you have to be single and you got enough money not to have to go to work unless you're working in the same field that you're studying in, you know, like this astrology. Like counseling and stuff like that, you got time to study these books like that. It would behoove you to really know about them though, because it is pertaining to your natural life. That's what the Egyptians lived by.
Alhamdulillah. I just want to say something about you know, like a lot of times I hear, look, Shuka. A lot of times I hear the brothers, you know, they be so hard on each other because of certain things, like when he said that they're not, we're not supporting each other, you know, and all that, we're not uniting together and all this, and, you know, and all that, and, you know, the way we act towards each other. But I said to myself, I said, but they failed to remember, we got to really reprogram ourselves. That's how the psychological that affected that the Nabi Elijah Muhammad put on us. That was a good that what they do is that well, that was very good what he used. He said, "How do you get a people attention? You tell them something different that they have been believing in for all their lives." And all their lives, we've been believing that the white man was God, and then reversing how what we felt inferior about ourselves, and then he reversed that, and then he showed them all the things that they was doing to make them see that they was. And like I said, during that time, they was calling their children little devils. But then when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came on the scene, they stopped calling their children devils, you know, like that. But what I was saying is that. So what he got to remember is that if you was in, and I even said to myself, I said, well, how did this happen to our people where they got so much control and these people are much, we're much stronger than them and everything is what it is. It's the, like you said, it's the mind. Here it is that first, they had a problem with the first 100 years. Don't think they didn't struggle that first 100 years, but the second 100 years, they didn't have no problem because they was babies. So a baby gonna only know what you put into their mind, and if you don't let them read, they can't gain no knowledge. Mm-hmm. So those are the things you have to remember. And then they put it into us about a nigga can't tell you nothing and all this. They put that into us, and yeah. Then some of them thinking that they were our daddies and they mama because they didn't know no different. Mm-hmm. And anything you say, they'll do it. So you got to remember that. So if you grow as under a child, you know, you could make that child think he's a dog. Just like they said, like when they was like this little boy, they show a true story where this little boy lived some kind of way. His parents got lost. Anyway, he got lost in the woods, and he got raised by a bunch of monkeys. So he thought he was a monkey. And then when he came, and then when they captured him and brought him in, he was about 7 or 6, maybe about 7 or 8 years old. He went to school and everything, but he was walking like a monkey and all that. But what he did is, one day he just took off his clothes and went back into the jungle. because he was a monk. Yeah, that's what his mind, all his life, that's all he knew is being a monkey. He didn't know how to be a human being. Because we're the only one that have that free will.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so
a bunch of monkeys rape us.
Yeah, because just like the lady, like I said, you remember the time that they always talk about this lady, she had babies, her children looked like monkeys and stuff like that, and she lived in the jungle for 5 years, but they never said who the daddy was.
Really? I heard that about dogs.
Yeah. Now, this is a lady in Africa, yeah, so they were showing that kind of, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, like that. But it's the mind. So I said, oh, don't be so cold. Just tell them, give them solution. Give us the solution to the problem. That's the only thing I liked about, as I said, that's one reason why they had to shut Malcolm's down. Not only he was talking strong, but he was giving us the solution to the problem. What to do?
Yeah, they like your solution.
Yeah, and so that's what we have to do is give out solutions to the problem. You got to remember that these are baby minds. Remember they said we got baby minds? That's what that was. Wasn't reading. Here it is. You haven't read, and here it is. You got a group of people that ain't read in 300 years. We just start reading. Isn't that something? And then at some at our age, when we was growing up, some of them didn't even know how to read. Even at our, they never did learn how to read. Because I know some people don't even know how to read. In sixth grade, I never forget the guy said, say your ABCs. And in sixth grade, he said, A, B, C, F, R, I, G. He said, I know them all, but I don't know how to say them in order. Yeah, wow. That's what he said. He said, I never forget that. I was in sixth grade. I never forget that. And nobody never laughed at nobody. We never laughed at each other or anything like that. We just didn't say nothing.
How can somebody teach a child ABCs and they don't teach it in the order?
No. It's just that some just slower. Some of us was just slower than others, you know. And then some didn't believe in. And if your parents don't read, if none of your parents don't read, then how are they gonna teach the child and encourage the child to read? And a lot of the parents back there during that time, they didn't know how to read. You remember a lot of them, they didn't go no further than third grade, and some of them didn't go to school at all. Alhamdulillah. So that's why I said, they're so cold on the, but all we have to do is just give the solution to the problem, and they got to remember where we came from. And that would help more so than anything, alhamdulillah.
All right, Goran, I appreciate your input. Like it's time for us to close on out of here now. It's 2 minutes after 9. Did you want to close out in prayer in the dua, El Fatiha? You want me to, whichever word you want to say, or you want me to do it?
Well, you can go ahead on and do it, Sister Dahlia. Alhamdulillah.
You can do it though, right? Good time to practice.
Yeah. Yeah, I get up every morning and I put up on. I ain't lying, I do. I get up every morning and it's to teach you how to say the Islamic the Fatiha.
That's all right.
I got up every morning. Then I said it. Then she just said, "You still said it out. You still messed up." I said, "Well, I get up every morning."
Yeah. All you gotta do is
he
says it out loud for you, right? So
who?
Suja, don't he say it out
TV.
Loud?
No, the TV. TV said out loud. Yeah, the TV says out loud. Yeah, I watch on the TV when they be, you know, they say learn the Fatiha and I listen to them and I say it along with them. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Uzu billahi min shaitan irajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, rahmanir rahim, maliki yawmiddin, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, ihdinas siratal mustaqim, siratal ladhina an'amta alayhim, I will make dubi alayhim walidu lean. I mean. We'll talk tomorrow, inshallah. And we never did get that package.
Oh, you didn't? Because,
we never
and I don't know, I sent one to Brother Abraham, too. So everybody got it. I haven't heard from Brother Abraham, and you said you guys haven't got it.
So only the sister,
okay,
only Haji got hers, right?
Yeah, and then in Atlanta, then I sent Sister Mirror or something, and then she got hers, too. She got hers also.
A mirror in Chicago?
Oh, yeah, Mirror's in Chicago, right. She sure is. She's in Chicago. That's right. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Yeah.
Well, okay. I just want to let
sure
you know we
is.
Didn't get it, though. I just want to let you know we didn't get it. I don't know. It would be good for you to track it if you say you sent it and it didn't get in all this time, but others got theirs. Maybe you need to track it, you know, even if it comes back.
Okay. Do you have a mailbox or do you have a – because maybe you need – sometimes you go to the post office and check it because, if it can't go into your mailbox, then they're supposed to give you a pink slip or something.
That's right. Give you a pink slip, letting you know you have a pickup at the post office. But we got
You gotta check and see. You gotta check the mail, check and see do you have a package there from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
But we got nothing from the post office stating that. Like, we had a package, but it was maybe too big, to go in the mailbox, you know. But then when it comes in through the mail, then they'll let you know that it's down there, that you can pick it up at the post office, because it was too big of a package to put in the mailbox.
Why don't you call and ask and see, and then if they said they haven't got it, then I'm going to put a trace on it, because it should, you know, because it... you know, just check, just because sometimes I have it down there. Yeah, tell them for Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 6714.
You might as well put a trace on it, because we got good postman service here. You know, so you might as well go on and check on it, because we have not received a pink slip or anything in our mailbox or on our door. They usually put one on our door, too.
Alhamdulillah. Okay,
yeah,
then. All right, then. I'm going to check.
You might as well go and start tracking that down, you know.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to do that. Alhamdulillah.
Because you don't need them to be questioning what that is out there in the air, just there, you know, a package. And after a while, I don't know how it was made up or anything. They may decide they want to try to open it and find out what it is.
right. That's what they you're right. Because they'll do that. Alhamdulillah. I'm gonna start on it tomorrow, inshallah. I'm gonna start.
Okay. Y'all have a good night.
All right.
Until later.
All right, you too. Only God's land.